Check out more great shows at Pride48.com.
I had it over on the new clip.
He is just, I mean, talk about little boy pot pie.
And I was trying to, but it was on the same volume slider as the exit music, so I couldn't do it.
The one feature of the Roadcaster 1, or whatever it was called,
yeah,
that I wish was in the Roadcaster Pro 2,
yeah,
is the original Roadcaster would tell you how much time was in a clip and would count down the seconds or whatever.
It does that now, but it does it with a pie chart.
Well, it's a pie chart, and you have no idea because every clip is a different length, and so you don't know. The pie tells you nothing.
Yeah. Because that's what I was thinking. Is like I would almost rather get like some kind of MIDI trigger, something pad that I could do over here that would not only play the sound, but would also like trigger a video behind me that would show the seconds counting down so that you could see it also. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just have a
monitor.
You've
said that for years. Like,
I know, but I don't. I'm not going to.
It's been an ambition of you. Like, I'm going to write an app.
I never. I'm not going to do it.
By the way, people on the video, we're going off the video now.
Goodbye, video.
Goodbye, everyone.
Let me make our existing video invisible. I've done so.
Now I can take my pants off.
Well, as you do every week.
As I do every week.
Each and every week, Adam, that is correct.
You know what I should have brought up, which I didn't, but this is now just going to be for level 13. But I don't think I said this on Geeky Gay.
What?
So I've been doing, I don't think my butt is large enough. I feel like I'm getting that old man ass where it's just flat. And so I was thinking, well, I'm going to start doing more squats.
Yep.
And I'm trying to just work more activity into my day-to-day life instead of having like an hour where I have to go to the gym and like do all this stuff or whatever. I still do Peloton and things like that, but I'm trying to do more otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, every day I'm going to do 50 squats.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start, you know, I mean, because I need to do more than that. I need to add weight and I need to do other things.
Pick a random number, 50.
Yeah, 50. Because why not? I mean, I could pick any number, but I'm going to add squats to my day.
Okay.
And so the other morning I was naked and I was getting ready for, I was about to get in the shower and I was brushing my teeth and I thought I'm going to do my squats while I'll do one squat per second. Cause when I brush my teeth, I count. Right. And I was butt ass naked, right? And I'm doing my squats and we're keeping Tabitha at the time. And Tabitha is very clingy and I didn't think about it. And I go down and a dog nose goes up my butthole. And I'm like, Tabitha, get out of my ass. What are you doing? So, yeah, the moral of that story is don't do squats naked around a dog.
Or do, depending on your, I'm not going to kink shame anyone.
It was not my intention. I quickly pushed her away. And, but yeah, I didn't, yeah.
So I know that today was iPhone 16 day. I saw that on Facebook and people, I guess this is the day that the iPhone 16s made it to the store or something or arrived or I don't know. But today, Adam, historically was the first day that I was finally able to get my stupid Google account situated enough so that I could buy the new Pixel 9 XL. So I got the pink one, Adam. I got the pink one, the pink Pixel 9 XL. Very excited. It'll be here next week.
Why pink?
Because that was one of the colors. I mean, you end up putting a case on it anywhere and anyway, and no one ever sees the color that you pick. So it's like, why not? You know, it's like having a little cute little pair of pink panties on under your pants or whatever. It's your own little secret. It's like, yeah, my phone it's pink. But of course, the case that I got for it is going to be like this one. It's going to be a black leather case. So it's like, you're not going to see that it's pink anyway. I don't even know that this
so
one is
So is it why. Just so you'll know that it's pink underneath? Like, I mean, why yeah. why such yeah. A loud color when you're just going to be covering it up anyway?
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
Why?
Why not? I just told you, it's like having a little pair of, a secret pair of pink panties under your pants or whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, I do wear thongs still, so yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah. and nobody sees them,
as does Drew.
Now.
As does Drew. Or is, wait, yeah. is, are oh, those yeah. thongs? He,
yeah. Yeah, he loved my suggestion of underwear.
He gave a whole TED talk.
And you know, it's, and I was really happy that he enjoyed. Look, if anybody else, I was so. What really enthralled is the wrong word, but I'll just use enthralled because I can't think of the word that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I have always had this thing where I do not like underwear with any kind of waistband because it just makes, and for someone as skinny as Uncle Drew.
Yes.
To be like, oh my God, I've had that problem my whole life as well. I don't like a waistband. And then to go, and I love your underwear suggestion. Like that was, I've never had anyone agree with me, never had, and I've never, no one else have I ever met in my life who have had that same problem.
And there you go.
And I was like, well, I'm glad I could help you. So now Drew and I wear the same underwear.
Right. Into the season, that is why it's called the season of doom and gloom, Adam, is because they have to think about you wearing those underwear every time that they see Drew in those underwear.
I'm sure you heard on my show the jack-o'-lantern
bought. The projector. I was going to look
Have
that up.
You, it's cool. And I need to figure out if I thought it was motion and or sound activated, but when I went to turn it on, it was just continually singing. Like I couldn't get it to stop. I had to go turn it off. So I don't know if it... But it's really cool, though, because it has a project. Like I said, it has a projector inside of it, and it projects the face onto the inside of the pumpkin. So it looks like it is an animated face
right
on the pumpkin. It's really cool and sings and talks. And
yeah, there's actually a YouTube video about how to hack them to put your own videos in to so that you can put your own animations in.
Oh. I'm looking forward to putting that out for the trick or treaters.
Yeah, we did. Go ahead.
Enjoy giving candy to the trick or treaters. So I'll probably just put a bowl out there with some candy next to the jack-o'-lantern.
Why do you hate giving candy to kids?
I don't enjoy it.
I love seeing their costumes.
I get anxiety, Daniel. Kids are mean. And I feel
not
like
on
they're
Halloween.
Say something
on
mean
Halloween,
to me,
they're
like,
not mean. On Halloween, they want you to give them candy, so they're being on their best behavior. They're holding their bag open and wanting,
especially candy. When those a little bit too old teenagers come up to your door and they're just wanting to make everything a joke. And
I give them condoms. So I have a different bowl for you guys. Here you go. Here's some condoms. Oh,
that's a little creepy.
I don't actually.
A 50 something year old man giving condoms.
You're weirdly 17. Obsessed with my age.
No, I'm not. We've been talking about age the whole episode. You said you had me list things that we were not allowed to do because of our age.
I'm telling you, there's nothing I'm not allowed to do at my age. At my age, I'm allowed to do whatever the fuck I want.
At age 46, if I was to give out condoms to teenagers, I feel like that might be. You know,
in Arkansas, yeah, that would be a horrible political statement. Yeah,
I mean, I would be.
By the way, did you see
in the newspaper?
Did you? You don't follow politics, so I don't know that you knew that your governor, Sarah Huckafuck, went to Michigan to host a town hall with Trump, and that man is so just. Deranged. Like he clearly loses his spot in the middle of what he's saying and then tries to recover, like tries to remember what he was talking about. So he does a lot of side trips and stuff, but he like literally confused Bagram Air Base with the Anwar oil field in Alaska. And he went on for a while. He was trying to talk about Anwar and he kept calling it Bagram. And then there's a moment that you can see in his face that he realizes that he's been saying it wrong. And instead of doing what any normal fucking person would do and go, I'm so sorry, I've been saying Bagram, I meant Anwar, and moving on, he has to go, and also Anwar, because both Bagram and Anwar, Bagram being a really big air base over in the Middle East that I certainly know about, and Anwar being a really big oil field in Alaska that I certainly know about, is like, yeah, these things, these two things are absolutely, he's just like word salad trying to cover up for the fact that he just said something wrong, and instead of just fucking admitting that he said something wrong and moving on, he's got to be... You know,
so and then he just goes, and they eat cats.
Yeah.
You know, or something crazy. Like
he will never, ever, ever say he was wrong about anything. There's nothing that he, you know, there's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing that he's not right on. Even when you show him evidence, you know, of him saying the exact opposite, it's just like, he would, nope, that's not how I remember. It's like when you have literally have ABC News going, we fact checked this eating pets thing, sir. And that's not actually true. Well, I saw it on TV. It's like,
well, like, I don't believe the news media. I believe,
except when they show people eating pets, and then suddenly he's going to believe the fake news, right? It's just like, don't you call them the fake news?
Yeah. Well, J.D. Vance was saying that, no, this came directly from my constituents.
And, J.D. Vance is
I choose to believe my constituents instead of
the... He is such a slime, that J.D. Vance. You just watch some of his speeches and his indignations. We aren't
anybody that drinks Diet Mountain Dew just...
He's the worst of the worst. He's like, they're all, he's like, they're just grifters. They don't believe anything they say. Here's a man who is married to an Indian American and has two biracial children who has to stand up on stage and let a whole bunch of white people talk about, you know, illegal immigrants. Anyone who's brown is illegal. It's like when they talk about these illegal immigrants, these Haitians, all of these Haitians that they're talking about are there legally. It's like, they're not illegal immigrants. They're just immigrants. It's like.
Where's your little boy pot pie clip? I feel like we need one of those.
Talk about little boy pot pie.
Yeah, exactly. J.D. Vance, just a little boy pot pie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The same thing, Lamont Cranston. Yeah, there are clips of Vance all over the internet where he calls Trump Hitler and stuff like that back when he was against Trump. And now suddenly he's, you know, his best friend. I don't know. You know what, Adam? Here's the thing that makes me feel somewhat good. And I mean, I'm still... by the way, today was Friday. The deadline to register to vote in Arkansas is October 7th. Why are you registered to vote? Did you go down today and register to vote?
Not yet. I want to tell you, my meetings started at 10:30 this morning.
Yep.
And I had meetings all the way until 5 o'clock.
I need you to go to
To eat lunch during a meeting.
I need you to go to your Tuesday schedule and just block out.
Yeah, I'm going to register. Don't worry. I'm going to register next
week.
That
deadline is coming up. The deadline is, you know, next. All right. Next week is the last week of September. But your deadline is October something.
Right. So I'm going to do it next. I've 2 weeks before I go on my vacation, and the deadline is while I'm on vacation. I'm going to do it next week.
So here's the thing that makes me feel somewhat.
It's not going to matter because, I mean, we are going to go for Trump, but I will vote regardless.
It matters. This is 538. What 538 does is that they run probabilities, so they'll run like a 1,000 different simulations based off polling data of what the outcome would be with different random factors thrown in. So out of the 1,000 times that they ran it, 599 times Kamala Harris won, 398 times of that 1,000 Trump won, and there was no winner in 3 of those 1,000 simulations. But the interesting thing here is this plot. So you can see that dead center would be 270 to 270, no winner. Like there would be exactly tied 270 to two, or 269 to 269. And then the lines leading out from that are bigger and bigger leads.
Like, hi, Joe.
Hello, Joe. Are bigger and bigger leads. So like you can see that the blue side is way wider than the red side. In all of these thousand simulations, the only time that Trump, the biggest landslide that Trump could have electorally would have been 456. So in one simulation, he had 456 electoral votes and Harris only had 82 electoral votes. That's the best case scenario for the Republicans, right? If you go over to the Democratic side, though, their best case scenario is that Harris has 497 and Trump only has 41. And that's not the only one. It's not just one dot there. There's also a dot next to it at 490 to 48 and 488 to 50. And there's two dots on 465 to 73. That means there's a 2% chance that she could have 465 electoral votes and he would only carry 73. But what I really find interesting, because the height of the line tells how many of those scenarios that this happens in. And if you look at the line specifically at near the there's two tall lines near the end of the blue, and they have like a definite valley between them. That innermost line represents Harris winning 397 electoral votes to 141. That's a real possibility. That is over a 10% possibility that Harris will take 397 electoral votes. So that's the,
I don't quite understand that graph. It's a little bit above my head, but what I do understand is she won 599 times and he won 300. And
yeah. So it's basically 60% of their time. She won 40% of the time he won. And then there's like 1% that there was no winner.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope she wins. Fingers crossed.
And Joe in Dallas has asked a very serious question. How can it be this close? Here's my own private little conspiracy theory. Now that we're not on the main show where Adam basically said that the assassination was faked. you're a conspiratorialist now, Adam.
I didn't say it was faked, but yeah. I don't have a problem with people hearing me say that.
I'm teasing with you. But now that we're in the after show, I can give you my little conspiratorial theory. News channels operate off of ad sales. It is no longer independent from the, thanks to Reagan, news is not protected by an independent thing that's part of the public good and their, there is no separation between the advertisers and the news department. So the news department has to make money just like the entertainment department does. So it is in the entertainment business's best interest for it to be a close race. If it was a runaway race, it would not be interesting. If everyone knew that it was going to, end and in one way, they would not have the interest in it that they do. So my little conspiratorial theory here, my little conspiracy theory, is that the news media want to keep it tight. They want you to think that it is way closer than it maybe possibly is, because they need you to watch their shows where people, fret about it on either side, in order to watch the commercials that come along with those shows, right? It is in their best interest to keep you on your edge so that you can, can be super concerned about it. Because if this was true, right, if there's a 60% chance that Harris is going to win, then a lot of us wouldn't be so on edge, right? So it's like, I feel like that's my conspiracy theory. I feel like it is just monetarily in a lot of people's interest for it to always be a tight race. And if you look back from 1980 forward, every single election was always billed as it's the closest election ever. It's the closest, even in the case where Clinton's second term, he literally swept the Electoral College. That was supposed to be a razor thin race.
Well, The thing that made the most sense to me that I've seen recently of a solution to, and I get what you're saying. I don't know if I fully, it is believable what you're saying, except I have a hard time believing that because what you're basically saying is like all of these news networks or all of these news, you know, yep, programs are basically making up these numbers for their ratings. So basically you're saying they're all lying to us just so they can get better ratings, which I struggle to believe that lack of integrity.
It doesn't have to be. Here's the slippery slope, right? These polls, the polls that everything is based off of, cost money. It costs money to make a poll. So who is paying for these polls? It's usually the media that are paying for these polls. So they're like saying to these pollsters, we want you to poll the presidential election in this county, you know, in this state or whatever. And, you know, it's really good for us if it's close. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're not saying it is what it
wink,
is.
Wink. But,
yeah, you know, exactly. We'll keep paying you as long as exactly. It's like there's only three news networks basically when you get down to it. It's like so it's not like it has to be conspiratorial of hundreds. It is literally a conspiracy of, I don't know why I can't talk tonight. It's literally like a conspiracy of tens of people.
So anyway, the other thing I was going to say, which is also related to the race, but not related to fixing of poll numbers or whatever, is Joe said in the chat room, I mean, there can't be that many bucktooth inbred hillbillies running the country. America cannot be this gullible. What I would say is it's all the fault of the Electoral College and the fact that all of these middle states who have all those bucktooth hillbillies have all these electoral votes. And that's what makes it, you know, that's what makes it a problem. But when you look at the popular vote, the popular vote is always much more sane.
Yeah.
And so what I think has to happen, Congress doesn't do jack shit. Nothing ever gets passed. And so there's no way we're going to get anytime soon an amendment that to the Constitution that gets rid of the Electoral College. However, there are states who have decided that they are instituting laws in those states that whoever wins the popular vote is going to get all of their electoral votes. And they are just one or two states shy of that becoming a reality. That means the popular vote will always win the Electoral College votes that they need to win the race. And if that happens, that means that going forward, it won't matter that there's an Electoral College because
you mentioned this on last week's show, and I meant to ask you for this because I have
it
not.
It was a YouTube video.
I have not found any news stories, any, like when I Google for that, I'm not finding anything that even makes a hint at it.
And I don't want to be.
I'm just saying,
one of those people that saw one YouTube video,
right? But I'm just saying, it's like I have not. I mean, I heard what you said, and I was like, "Oh, that'd be great!" And yeah, that would be a way that we could tackle this. Maybe what you saw was a YouTube video saying, "Hey, this would be a way that we could tackle that, going state by state." But because there is, the closer you get to your home, the more immediate your vote counts.
Can someone else's vote count more than yours? For 80% of Americans, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. Their vote for president isn't nearly as valuable as the vote of someone in a so-called swing state. Most of us live in states that have become so predictably Democratic or Republican
how
we're taken for granted by candidates.
Five minutes, but
can we go to the speed settings there and speed it up a little?
Well, I don't know if it's this guy. It's Robert Reich.
Yeah.
Donald Trump left office.
Robert Reich is the former Treasury Secretary.
It was his video, and that wasn't the video, but it was his video that I was watching.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, I think what he's just proposing that as a solution, which I agree with him, but I don't think
he was saying that
it's not
enough.
Happening.
He was saying that there are states who have already passed laws that that's what they were going to do, and that they're only one or two states away.
Where did you put? You said
I didn't put it anywhere. Oh. I just said it's Robert Reich.
Right, and I'm Googling.
He has a Robert Reich Substack. Inequality Media Civic Action is a nonprofit co-founded by former Secretary of Labor.
Oh, he was the former Secretary of Labor. Sorry. So sorry, Adam. You know, oftentimes I am accused of talking out of my ass when I get something wrong. But I'm not.
Well,
I'm not afraid to admit.
I did say that it was one YouTube video, and it could be, you know.
Right. Cool.
But I'll look into it.
I mean, it sounds great. I'm not seeing any evidence that it's happened. It's like, I mean, I live in Florida. We can't even fucking get out of changing our clocks. It's like we've had legislation for the past 8 years that has passed. The Florida legislation is waiting in Congress for them to take it up because they have to approve it. But it's for us to not go back to standard times, for us to just stay on daylight saving time all the time. It's like... And the thing that annoys me the most about that is because that requires congressional approval. But if we were just to say, like Arizona, hey, we don't want to do daylight saving time. We just want to stay on standard time. That you don't need congressional approval for. Just the state just has to agree to do it. So it's like, I don't understand why Florida, you know, we've had legislation for the past 8 years trying to get it the one way that we need congressional approval on. But in the meantime, we could just stay on standard time and be done with it. And it's a uniquely stupid reason.
I don't want standard time. I want daylight saving time.
Well, that's, yeah. The state of Florida wants daylight saving time because that means more hours of daylight for people to go to the theme park. So it's like, the sun rising earlier in the morning doesn't help theme park people because they're not going to open the theme park at 5 a.m. So it's like they want the later sunlight. They want the later sunset. That's what Florida wants. And a lot of the economy in Florida is based off of watching sunsets at dinner. And it's like, you know, during standard time, sunset is like at 5 o'clock. Like, who the fuck is eating dinner at 5 o'clock?
My parents. he says, I could have sworn, maybe I was dreaming.
Could be. I think he just proposed it and you just thought that maybe it took it on.
Maybe. Because I don't see exactly what I was saying, but I know, now I'm one of those people. I am one of those people, Daniel. I did my research online. I'm telling you, we're one state away from,
Do your own research. I watched a YouTube video about it.
I'm one of these people.
I gotta find, I'm about to become one of those people.
Because I wanted it to be true so bad. I think that's it. This is it.
Huge leverage.
Yeah, let me just speed it up. Let's just listen to a little bit of this.
40,000 votes spread across just 3 swing states. 2016 came down to fewer than 80,000 votes, also across 3 states. In those elections, the national popular vote wasn't nearly that close. In fact, in the last 5 elections, the winners of the popular vote beat their opponents by an average of 5 million votes. The current state-by-state electoral college system of electing presidents is creating ever closer contests in an ever smaller number of closely divided states for elections that aren't really that close. Not only that, but these razor-thin swing state margins can invite post-election recounts, audits, and lawsuits, even attempted coups. A losing candidate might be able to overturn 40,000 votes with these techniques. Overturning 5 million would be nearly impossible. The current system presents a growing threat to the peaceful transition of power. It also strips us of our individual power. If you're a New York Republican or an Alabama Democrat, presidential candidates have little incentive to try and win your vote under the current system. They don't need broad popular support as much as a mobilized base in a handful of swing states. Campaigning to a smaller and more radical base is also leading to uglier, more divisive campaigns. And it's becoming more and more likely that candidates are elected president without winning the most votes nationwide. It's already happened twice this century. Now, abolishing the Electoral College should be the ultimate goal. But this requires a constitutional amendment, which is almost impossible to pull off because it would need a 2/3 vote by Congress, plus approval by 3/4 of all state legislatures. But in the meantime, there is an alternative, and it starts with getting our states to join the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Don't let that mouthful put you off. It could save our democracy. This compact would guarantee the presidency to the candidate who receives the most popular votes nationwide without a constitutional amendment. How does it work? The Constitution assigns each state a number of electors equal to its number of representatives and senators. As of now, the total number of electors is 538. So anyone who gets 270 or more of those Electoral College votes becomes president. Article 2 of the Constitution allows state legislatures to award their electors any way they want. So all that's needed is for states with a total of at least 270 electoral votes to agree to award all their electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins the national popular vote. The movement to do this is already underway. 15 states and the District of Columbia have joined the compact, agreeing that once enough states join, all their electoral votes will go to the popular vote winner.
But only we'll do it, but only if a bunch of other people do it.
So we just need a few more states with at least 75 electors to join the compact, and it's done. Popular vote laws have recently been introduced in Michigan and Minnesota.
So he's saying 15 states have agreed to do it if they get enough.
I'll do it if I'll go if Adam goes.
Yeah.
That's basically it. So, yeah, I'll do it. If Alabama will do it, I'll do it.
But that's a brilliant idea. If they can get enough states to agree to that and actually do it,
I agree.
Then, I mean, there you go.
But
Bob's your uncle.
The problem with it is that the people that are elected right now are people that were elected through this system. So it's like dismantling the system that got you elected is a hard sell for a lot of these people. I'm about to become one of those HOA people though. Like today was a very nice day. It was, you know, temperatures were in the mid 80s right after work. I have a nice little patio with some reclining chairs. I went outside with my drink and I sat down in one of my reclining chairs to take in the beauty of nature and the beauty of Florida. And there's one of my fucking neighbors is like playing their music, like top of their, you know what I'm saying? It's like, not like I can hear.
Was it rap or something?
No. It was not that I could hear, you know, it's not like someone had a radio on at their pool and it was like, this was loud enough for me to like, you know what I'm saying? It was a house, at least 1,000 feet away from me, but it was loud enough that I could hear it inside. You know what I'm saying?
I'm okay with them playing music as long as they don't park their vehicles in their driveway. No.
And we have a noise ordinance here in Lake County, and that certainly violates the noise ordinance. And, but that means I'd have to call the sheriff's department and, all this stuff. But I just found in the covenants, in the Greater Groves covenants, you know, our bylaws, our HOA bylaws, that no nauseous or offensive activity shall be carried on or upon any lot, nor shall anything be done thereon which may be or may become a nuisance to the neighborhood.
But it's debatable if other people in your neighborhood like the music.
No, but they are repeatedly violating the Lake County noise ordinance. Doesn't matter what they're playing. Doesn't matter if other people like it. There is a noise ordinance that says that if you're 25 feet away from me, I shouldn't be able to hear your radio like it's right in my face. Like, you know what I'm saying? That is the noise ordinance here in Lake County. It's a 25-foot decibel.
I want to go trick-or-treating and I can't because that loud music.
But you know what? If I'm sitting out there, I want to sit outside. I want to feel the breeze. I want to hear the birds. It's, you know, late afternoon, I'm there relaxing out there. I want to hear nature. I don't want to hear his fucking whatever he's playing. Or there. It's not he.
Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama.
It doesn't matter. Even if it was a song I really liked,
Largo,
it would still
Montego,
annoy me.
Baby, why don't we go?
I don't like the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys would just annoy me even more.
Well, I know. Yacht Rock. Joe said Yacht Rock in the chat room, and I don't know that Beach Boys are considered Yacht Rock.
Can you define Yacht Rock?
Music that you would play on a yacht.
No. I feel like there's a genre.
Buffy, we're going to go out on the yacht this afternoon and have some champagne and caviar.
Yacht rock is a music genre that emerged in the late 70s and early 80s, characterized by its smooth, mellow sound and soft rock elements. It often features polished production, jazzy harmonies, and themes of
Beach Boys.
Themes of leisure, love, and escapism. The name yacht rock comes from the luxurious, carefree lifestyle associated with yachting, and the music is often seen as the perfect soundtrack for cruising on a boat or relaxing by the water. Artists like Michael McDonald, Hall & Oates, Steely Dan, and Christopher Cross are considered icons of the yacht rock genre.
Well, there you go. Is I'm assuming Christopher Cross is not the gonna make you jump, jump, the Mac Daddy make you jump.
That's
jump.
Chris Cross. That's
well,
not
Chris
that's
Cross.
Not Christopher
Didn't one
Cross.
One of them die or something.
That's Chris Cross. I don't, how would I know? How would I know? No, Christopher Cross, I think, let me just make sure. You'll know the song as soon as I play it. Yeah. This is the song. This is the song that everyone knows from Christopher Cross. Did you feel that rocking to the boat there, Adam? You don't feel your boat rocking?
I'm sorry, I was looking at what Joe said. After looking at your Disney video with Daddy Daniel.
Well, it's not far down to paradise.
I don't know this song. Did we take a video when we were in California?
Hold on, here's the chorus.
It's not far. Never
it's a sailing takes me away, but I think everyone.
It's not far to never,
that's
never
not,
land.
Here's the one that I think everyone knows is this one.
It sounds reminds me of like a Chicago or Journey little bit.
Yeah. This is a theme to a movie, but it's Christopher Cross.
Once in your life, you find her.
Oh, okay.
Someone
yeah, that.
Turns your heart
I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's yacht rock.
I'm old.
Yeah,
I'm
so worried. Joe in Dallas, by the way.
Did we take a video when
yes.
we were in
Joe in Dallas, by the way, the person who made this possible.
He is just, I mean, talk about little boy pot pie.
Because the Pod is My Co-Pilot crew was not allowed to talk about their week. Otherwise, you would have heard the whole story about Taffy meeting Zach. But because Joe in Dallas sent them 900 questions, the entire episode was spent answering Joe in Dallas's questions. However, the other thing that Joe in Dallas has recently discovered is our TikTok account. And, yes, the first time that when you were here at Disney and we rode Tron and stuff, that was a while ago. It was when we didn't have this house.
I thought he was talking about the recent Disney trip. Okay. No.
And then there's other TikTok clips of the podcast immediately after that trip where we talked about how hot Florida was. So. Those were from our. Yeah, I saw today.
California was hotter than Florida. Yes.
I saw today that Joe in Dallas had liked those videos and commented on those videos from over a year ago. But
I don't remember that. I remember you telling me about how you thought it was funny that they put the
thing in
the front of Tron where you have to sit on it and prove that you are not too fat and
yes,
you have to
in
do it in
of
front
everyone.
Of everyone.
Yes.
I remember that. Yes. That's pretty much all I remember.
Joe in Dallas says, I was asked to send them questions. No, you were asked to send in a question. You didn't have just send in 99 of them. Do you not know how important it is? You still have your sound sped up on YouTube?
I know.
They're like jumping really fast.
Jump.
That is not that's not Christopher Cross. That's not,
no, not that's the, not, not the same, yeah. Not, yeah. Not the same at all. But that was popular when I was in junior high or high school.
But Joe and Dallas, do you not know how important it is for me to hear my name on other podcasts? Just like, and we had this whole moment with Taffy. When the show downloaded, you know, when the show posted, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the show. This is going to be the show where Taffy talks about running into me at the restaurant. And I want to hear how Taylor's going to react. And everybody, no, no, it was just one little.
He is just, I mean, talk about little boy pot pie.
Have you ever thought about the fact that all of these podcasts always ask their listeners for questions?
Yeah.
We have never, to my knowledge, asked our listeners for questions.
Okay.
All of the other ones do it. Big Fatty has done it.
We can't do it in October. We can't. We've already asked them to call in eulogies in October, so we can't do it in October.
But the question is, would our listeners provide?
I don't know. Well,
they don't even call in celebrity deaths anymore, hardly.
All right, let's call. So, let's pick a show. What are we at now? 170? X Minus Podcast. I think we just posted episode 170. So this will be, tonight will be episode 171. So, and October is going to take us past episode 175. So I feel like, let's aim for questions for like our 200th show.
Okay. Well, that'll give them some time because that'll be like next year because we have.
Yeah.
We only do one a week, so that we're 25 weeks away from that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're
assuming
not now.
We're also going to take breaks.
Yeah. Well, then I can't think of another. We could do it.
In 2026, we will. No, we don't even have to do it. I'm just saying so many podcasts do it, and we've never. I'm just wondering why we haven't. Is it because we're afraid that they wouldn't actually do what we asked?
No, we can't do that.
Joe will send exactly one question because you just pissed him off. You're so good at that, Daniel, just pissing people off.
I specialize in this.
Auntie Scott has left the room because you started posting political graphs. Well, I was playing my political YouTube video as well.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know that Rodecaster Pro 2 had a firmware update where they have released virtual devices?
No, I didn't.
I haven't. I'm going to watch the video, but it seems that they are going to allow you to route specific applications from your PC to the Rodecaster.
Oh, cool.
To then control them on the mixer.
Oh, nice.
So like you could say, I want my browser window to go to, you know, track number 4 or something. And then you could control it. But I need to watch a video about it.
Cool.
I'm in the beta program and they sent me an email, but now I'm seeing a YouTube video about it. So.
I am not in either of those. I think I'm still running the original BIOS that came on this, which was the updated. It was the one that has the sensor thing, but
I used to do the beta stuff and then I would have problems. And so I stopped doing it.
Do you have a haircut in the morning?
I do not.
Oh, you're very tired.
Wait. I'm always tired. I'm just continually tired. It has nothing to do with.
Can you chat with Joe and Dallas for a moment? I have to pee.
There's more than just Joe in the chat room, but I can.
I mean, Lamont Cranston's sleep typing, but you can talk to him
he,
too.
He typed a minute ago. Lamont typed a minute ago. He is.
Yes,
now
I know. That's why
him.
I said. He's, that's why I said he's sleep typing. I was making a joke.
Chan met Dracula tonight. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to eat anything when we stop for tonight, because I'm always a little bit peckish after we get done. And I have not had a gummy. I have not vaped anything. I'm still a little bit hungry. So I had a situation today and I never know how to respond on this because I had, we had this team celebration. And so it was, we'd like to do this thing where there are these companies out there that will, they'll over Zoom or whatever. They'll lead games so your team can like play a game. And so there was this Pictionary. It sucked really. Well, I mean, their technology sucked and the host was horrible and like whatever, but I've done better ones is all I have to say about that. But the host was trying to make conversation. And when I'm on video, which is a lot, they see my podcast setup, you know, because, and I have sound dampening foam and all this kind of stuff behind me. And so, and, you know, I have LED lights on the wall behind me to kind of give a little interest or whatever for the video. And so I get this question often, but this was the host from this company. So she doesn't work for my company, but it was this, you know, corporategames.com or like whatever company she comes from. And she goes, "Oh, I see you have a very interesting, a cool setup there. Are you, cause you know, they see the mic and everything as well. Are you a gamer? Are you a podcaster? Like what are you? And so then I will say, "Oh, I'm a podcaster." But then the next question out of her mouth was, "Oh, well, what podcast do you do? I want to listen to it." Well, I don't really like to give my whole team is on the Zoom call, like my entire team. And I never know how to respond to that question. So I just said, "Oh, I said, I do so many, you know, I'm like, but if you want to look at something, I started an LGBT podcast network with my friend and so you can go to pride48.com. So I don't know what she's going to hear, but I didn't give, but now all of my engineers are probably going to pride48.com and trying to find, you know, trying to find, and they're going to find something, you know, that's probably, and I was just thinking, last episode, we posted that episode of Throwing Down, which is usually behind a paywall. And we're talking about how high I was eating chips and guacamole. I'm like, my entire engineering team is going to find the mix. They're going to hear the Throwing Down episode. It's like, oh, well.
And but Joe anyway. Cut that part out.
No, he didn't. Oh. He cut out the part we were bad-mouthing the photography.
That was you would have to be pretty far into that episode to hear anything about.
Also, I don't know if my coworker is still listening. Because remember, I do have one coworker that actually listened to at least one episode. Because she talked to me about it. But I haven't talked to her in a while, so I don't know. She seems fairly liberal, so maybe that's okay, but you never know. And I don't know, are there any clauses in my contract at work that like, if I do illegal drugs, they can fire me? Probably. So, and it is still illegal here. I'm not sure. You're talking about Joe. You're talking about the 100th episode, Joe, where the police were called and he went to jail? Is that what you're talking about? That wasn't during the show, but apparently I left the stream running, as we all know. So he was not tossing things at me. He was throwing things on the floor. Which is worse. I would rather him been throwing them at me because I could catch them. But he was destroying my plates that I bought from Pier 1 that had different things on them, the different like Paris and Italy and whatever, and they were on the wall. They were decorative plates because that's what you do. And he was throwing them on the floor and breaking them. It's very, pushed him down and ripped his shirt. No need to worry for my life, but he... I was just pissed that he was destroying shit. I wanted that to stop. Because it was shit that I had paid for. Because of course I paid for everything. He didn't even have a job at that point. So, Well, you know, and I, Lamont, I, is Dan, are you talking on the phone? Oh yeah, Daniel is talking on the phone at 1 a.m. I mean, he was.
Zach wasn't home, and I was like trying to figure out where the fuck he was.
Oh,
like 1 a.m. It's like,
where is he?
He is on his way home.
Off for a little, you know, a little treat. A little trick or treat on the way home.
Then he could have said that. Huh? It's like, I don't have
a little Taffy. Yeah, maybe he went to see Taffy on his way home. You know, she did call him a little boy pot pie or whatever. Look, so
that would be fine. But I would have expected a message of saying where he was or whatever, because it's 1 a.m. and he's not here. And it's like, we drove separately to the bar because I needed to come back for the podcast. So, you know, it's not.
Oh, he wasn't working tonight. He was just at the bar. Okay.
We went over there after dinner specifically to meet Nick at the bar and to have drinks with him. And we've been trying to set this up for months, so I didn't want to cancel it, but I just wanted to.
Is this one of the hotties that Zach is trying to get close to in your area?
No, I'm more attracted to Nick than Zach is. No, Nick is British. Oh, you'd like that. He's British. And
is he the one that kept the cat? I guess not, if you haven't.
No, that was Den, who's another British guy. But which I kind of think. I don't know. Anyway, but there, that's where we are. So we met Nick. Nick is a cast member. He lives in our neighborhood, but he works like third shift. So we have like, he's around in the day, you know what I'm saying? Like to have a time where we can both like, you know, we could all meet or whatever. It was just taking a very long time to set that up. So I didn't want to cancel it. So
Joe, you know, you can, well, he's probably not hearing us right now, but if you are hearing us, Joe, you can listen from Discord, and there are no ads there, but.
Yeah, there's no ads in Discord.
But yeah, the tune in.
Watch now. If he shows up in the Discord channel and the audio channel there, just we'll start doing an ad.
This is brought to you by, you know, Daniel, I was thinking the other day that I am tired of having to come up with meal ideas.
Really?
I cook every night for Mark.
Yeah.
And also, I don't feel like I'm the best at Filipino food, but you know, HelloFresh has Filipino options
in
their meal kits. Yeah. And so what I'm doing is they send me a box of these prepared, you know, all the ingredients are already there and measured out.
Yeah.
You have clear instructions. They give you a little box that you can put these recipes in. So even after you don't use HelloFresh anymore, you have the recipes that you can go back to.
You know, I've often wondered. Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't done.
Go ahead. You've often wondered what?
I've often wondered if Filipinos would like Bananas Foster, because really a lot of their dishes, because I was looking at Filipino desserts for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of them involve bananas and, you know.
Turon is one of Mark's favorite, which is literally just a banana with like sugar on it, fried.
Right. You should. Something. And you know what? If you. So brown sugar, you fry bananas in brown sugar and butter.
It's hideous.
What I'm saying, Bananas Foster. If you take the banana, you basically put a lot of butter and you put a lot of brown sugar and you cut you slice the banana lengthwise, you put it in the pan and you saute it in the thing. And then you top it with a little bit of brandy and set it flambe so that it like, you know, broils the top of it and whatever. And then you take that and you put it over a little block of vanilla ice cream and that's Bananas Foster.
I understand. I don't like bananas, but...
But I'm not asking about you. I'm asking about the Filipinos.
Yeah, but when I have to cook something, it's preferable that it's something that I like, because if it's something that I don't like, I can't tell...
birthday, Adam.
I can't tell if it's good or not, because if I don't like it, I'm not going to like it. Do you see what I'm saying? If you don't... I've always wondered how chefs who don't enjoy, let's say, seafood...
Yeah.
Are able to cook that, because how do you know that it tastes good? Because if you don't like seafood, it's never going to taste good to you.
That's why I never trust a vegan chef.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't like bananas. So anything I make with bananas, I'm going to hate.
That's just so weird to me. What is it you don't like about bananas?
The taste.
That's not true. Bananas are just literally like mildly sweet mashed potatoes. So it's like, what is it? What is it about?
I don't like the taste of bananas. I just do not like them.
Oh, that's Bananas Foster. That's delicious.
Not like the taste of bananas. I can't get any more specific than that. I just do not like it.
Joe, by the way, I don't know if you heard us because of the ad that you were listening to, but there are no ads in Discord. So if you just pop over to the Discord audio channel there, you'll hear us without any ads ever. So,
but yeah, thank you, Lamont. They're mushy as well. Ugh. I cannot stand them. I do not like them.
Oh, you know what? One of my favorite fruit snacks ever.
You don't like chocolate. Don't talk to me about not liking bananas. Everybody likes chocolate.
I wasn't complaining. I'm talking about one of my favorite. Can I talk about my favorite fruit snacks? See how I was being positive? I wasn't like assaulting you for not liking bananas. I was just surprised.
Don't snap at me.
Girl, that's not that's not snapping. One of my favorite fruit snacks is banana with peanut butter. Like, just you put a little bit of peanut butter and you eat the, you know, bite of the banana with the peanut butter, and then you put another thing of peanut butter and you bite the banana. Oh,
I like peanut butter. I do not like bananas. I don't love fruit in general. Mm-hmm. I'm very annoyed with Claire Saffitz. She used to be on Bon Appetit, but now she has her own channel. But I feel like recently she's been phoning it in on these recipes. She was like, one episode, she made a fruit cobbler. First of all, that is so simple. You literally macerate some fruit and some sugar and then put like a, you know, topping on it. And then the next week, she made a fruit crumble.
Yeah.
Which Same is even thing. Easier. You yeah. literally just mix up some oats and some flour and butter and then dump it on some fruit. I'm like, Mark, next week, she's going to say, today, we're making a bowl of fruit. She's not even going to bother with the crumble or the whatever. She's just going to slice some fruit and put it in a bowl. I'm like,
Look at how delicious that looks. That is a piece of toasted bread.
I hate bananas, Daniel. With peanut butter,
sliced bananas, honey, and I'm assuming cinnamon probably sprinkled on top there. And that looks.
I'm okay with the peanut butter and the honey.
Good. Oh, that looks so good.
I'm not okay with the bananas.
I wish I would have bought a banana today.
Bananas are gross.
Also, I like apples with peanut butter and cheese. In short, I don't feel that there's any fruit that isn't made better by peanut butter, apparently.
I feel like blueberries and peanut butter is kind of weird. A strawberry and peanut butter is also
weird to me. I have had strawberry Pop-Tarts with honey peanut butter on it. It's so good. I mean, granted, I was very high. I was very high at the time.
Well, anything tastes good when you're high or most things.
Look at that. Now, this, Adam, I'm assuming, is a piece of French toast.
Do you feel like eventually I'm going to give in and be like, oh my God, that looks so good?
No, we're going to look at this picture and we're going to guess what that's made out of. I think that that's a piece of French. Those are two pieces of French toast with the bananas pressed between them.
I think it's just toast.
These are two pieces of bread with the bananas between them. And then they battered that in the eggs and then cooked it like French toast on either side. So it's a double thick French toast. And then did the cinnamon and the powdered sugar.
It doesn't look French toast. They've cut it. It doesn't look soggy like French toast normally looks on the interior, or custardy.
Now there's some apples with peanut butter, and then
fruit. I'm not a fan of fruit
and cheese. Puts like a nice cheese, like a little piece of cheese.
You don't even like sweet stuff. Why do you like fruit?
I like sweet stuff. I don't like chocolate.
No, you say, well, like when we order dessert and stuff like that, you're like, eh, I don't really like sweet stuff.
Sometimes I do, but most of the time, you know, it's like, I don't need a sweet after every meal. It's like, if I had a choice between a cheese plate or dessert, I'd probably take the cheese plate.
Yeah, I don't.
But there are times like at the Tam O'Shanter when I had two desserts. I had the creme brulee, which was a joke. And the other thing, which was quite
sticky
good.
Toffee pudding, yeah, which was, I didn't think pudding. It was dry.
But that's why got the ice cream on it. You needed the ice cream on it.
Sticky toffee pudding is supposed to be moist and sticky. And the cake was like super dry. It was there. I've had much better. But it was, I didn't. The dessert, I was not impressed with the desserts there, but the prime rib was good. But you can't really go wrong with prime rib. I don't think I've ever had prime rib. To me, always tastes the same.
Yeah, well, it's just baked meat,
and I like it. So this
I definitely would not like. But it looks to me as if it is a layer of peanut butter, and then a layer of chocolate cake, and then some chocolate frosting, and then peanut butter, chocolate cake. Chocolate frosting, peanut butter, chocolate cake.
Well, it's like a peanut butter frosting. It's not just straight peanut butter. That's like a peanut butter frosting.
So chocolate frosting, peanut butter frosting, chocolate cake. Chocolate. Yeah.
And then some kind of like,
and it looks like there's like nuts.
Turtles. Yeah, like it looks turtles like there's or nuts whatever those things are called.
In the chocolate frosting. Yeah. It looks like there's peanuts in the chocolate frosting.
Yeah, I'll probably eat something after we're done. Because
what are you gonna eat?
I'm not gonna eat a banana, I'll tell you that.
Well, you should.
I don't even have any bananas. I don't keep bananas in this house. Well,
I mean, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, so there's nowhere I could even go to get a banana.
Untrue. Mark sometimes buys bananas.
Where could I? There's no grocery store that's open 24 hours. There used to be. It's like Walmart used to be open 24 hours. What the hell
COVID
happened?
During COVID. We stopped, and they never started back. It's annoying to me as well, because I needed, just the other night, well, it was probably like a month ago, but I needed, when we got Sydney from that horrible sitter, and she was covered in fleas, and it was like 11:05 in the evening, and we needed to go to bed, but she normally sleeps with us. And I was like, well, I'm not putting her in the bed with fleas all over her. I need to go get some flea stuff. I was like, oh, I can get that at Walmart. And it's like, oh shit, they close at 11. It was 11:05. I couldn't, back in the day when it was 24 hours, I could have gone and gotten some flea shampoo and some, like that stuff you put in between their shoulder blades to kill the fleas. But
yeah,
I couldn't because they were closed.
I guess so. The Wawa is open. I could go down to
you could probably get a banana at a gas station.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Wawa.
Oh, is Wawa a gas station?
Yeah. That's the one right at the entrance to our subdivision. You have to drive right by the little gas station there. That's Wawa.
Okay.
It is a southern.
A lot of times, it depends on the gas station, but some gas stations have fruit.
Oh, yeah, no, Wawa is a, I want to say it has a very California feel, but it's, I don't know where, let's find out.
It's very weird for you to just want to go get a banana at 1 a.m.
But I have peanut butter, I can get a banana and have some peanut butter. It's an American chain of convenience stores and gas stations originating in the Philadelphia
metropolitan area. We do not have them here.
Along the east coast of the United States, operating in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Florida, Alabama, and North Carolina.
Hmm. Yeah, all along the east coast. Yeah, pretty much.
And it's, but yeah, they're very, you know, they all have like kitchens where they'll make, you know, hot subs and whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like you order the.
Yeah.
Cold subs, hot subs.
We have a couple. We have Casey's and we have Come and Go. Both of those do pizza.
And then, Wawa only does pizza after 4. But yeah, and then they do pizza. So it's just your regular, you know, upscale 7-Eleven. Like it's more upscale than a 7-Eleven, right? They have candy bars in the coolers. So you can get a cold Reese's cup.
Okay. I didn't realize that was like a gourmet thing that only specialty things did.
Do you not chill your candy at Halloween?
I don't eat candy. Hardly ever.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of candy.
Like Baby Ruth. You don't like Baby Ruth.
If I was going to eat candy, I would never eat Baby Ruth. Absolutely not. But
why? Why do you even know? Do you even know what's in a Baby Ruth?
Sucky stuff. Because Baby Ruth is horrible. I don't like Baby Ruth. Snickers or Kit Kat is probably the two that I would eat.
Okay,
but or peanut M&Ms.
Okay, let me read you the ingredients or what the definition of a Baby Ruth is. It's an American candy bar made of peanuts, caramel, and milk chocolate flavored nougat covered in chocolate. Now let's read what a Snickers is. A Snickers is a candy bar made of peanuts, caramel, milk chocolate flavored nougat covered in chocolate. Like
they're different. I don't know.
They are different. Know, but they are
I do
different.
Not like Baby Ruth. I feel like
Snickers is sweeter than Baby Ruth. I feel like Baby Ruth has got less sweetness to
and
it.
And maybe Baby Ruth has more of the chewy caramel. I don't really care for that.
Yeah.
It sticks in your teeth.
Joe in Dallas has a question, and he's only allowed one. So what is your junk food, Adam? Oh. Well, it's certainly not that.
So a couple of things about me. I really have to have a combination of things. Oh, so I cannot have, I won't just eat cookies. Or chips or like whatever. I have to have a sweet and a salty together. I also need a crunchy. So there's not really junk food for me is fast food, like a burger and fries or something like that, or a sandwich and chips or, and then if I want something sweet, I might have a cookie or something with it, but it all goes together. Like I don't just grab a candy bar and just have a candy bar. Even when I was growing up and we had honey. Now I do something I do like is like pastry types of like donuts, honey buns, cinnamon rolls, because those have it has a dough, like a pastry or whatever. And for some reason that is better, but like candy, like it's just straight up sugar and there's nothing else.
Yeah.
I struggle with. So if I have a candy bar, I have to have like a candy bar and a bag of Doritos or something. Cause I have to have like the salty to counteract the sweet. It's just one of those things. And I eat candy occasionally. Like at Halloween, if we have a bowl of candy, I will fish out the Snickers and the Kit Kats.
So I will do that too, but I refrigerate them or freeze them before I eat them.
I don't like that because it makes them hard.
Yeah.
And I don't like that texture.
I do.
I'm a texture person and I've got to have balance of flavors. I can't just have
on that whole show when Batanz was talking about all the mini conditions for the restaurant and you're just like, I didn't have any conditions.
I didn't give him any,
but we are both aware of the fact that you need this element and that element. So that means that
all restaurants meet those categories, Daniel. It's not like you go to a restaurant and they're like, nope, nothing crunchy. It's all mush.
What if it was just a soup restaurant? It's just a restaurant of soups.
Oh, how often does that happen?
I don't know, but never. That is, we can't go to there.
They at least serve toast or cornbread or something with the soup. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're going to find a place that's just soup.
All right.
What are they called? You think there's a restaurant where they just puree everything?
Yeah, it's called puree.
It's called the nursing home that Fatty eats at once a week. It's like, and I'm not a big soup person, actually. I don't really like soup, but.
All right, well, let's wrap this up.
Because you want to go get a banana? Is that?
I don't know. I think maybe I'll just have a bacon sandwich. Like a bacon and cheese sandwich.
I did make a bacon jam tonight. We had turkey burgers, ooh, and I made a homemade bacon jam and put it. It was pretty good.
You know, I don't know if you know it or not, but I bought 3 pounds of bacon.
I do know.
For $25.
So. And you still have 2.95 pounds left.
Now we're going through it at a pretty good clip. Anyway, Adam, a pleasure as always. I hope Mark has a great birthday next week. How old will he be?
39.
So next year is the big 40.
Yeah. We're going to Switzerland next year. That's for his 40th.
Very neutral place. Okay. Good night, Lamont Cranston. Look, Lamont Cranston stayed awake the entire time.
Yeah, he's
good night, Mr. Mike.
He's a champ.
Good night, Street Rat. Good night, Joe in Dallas. Joe in Dallas, just for you. This podcast was brought to you by the letter
Hello Fresh.
Hello Fresh. All right. Good night, chat room. Good night. All right. I said good night there and good night, level 13.
Good night there. Good night.